Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service at Emmanuel today. Welcome also to those who will be listening later to the recording. I would like to welcome all visitors to today's service, and in particular, Joe and the Reverend David Dowling. Joe's the moderator of the Southwest Province, who will be leading our worship this morning. Emmanuel is a member of the Swindon Old Town Partnership of Churches and has also joined with its sister United Reformed Church at Highworth. I would like to remind everyone that we have the opportunity, following the end of this service, to ask questions of the moderator. The question and answer session will be held here in the church, and we hope you'll be able to stay and join in. At the close of the session, there'll be a lunch and tea and coffee in the hall. This morning, Helen Thomas will be reading from the New Testament, and I, Helen Marson, will read from the Old Testament. Thanks also to David Ledbetter, who will lead our prayers of intercession. And now, as we prepare for worship, I will light the Christ candle.
Welcome to this time of worship and this... No, I can't really say that. It's not my church. So on behalf of you, I'd like to welcome myself. No, that doesn't really work. What does work is for me to say I have the great privilege of saying this is not my church, nor is it yours. This is God's house, and we are all welcome in it. Let's sing our first hymn as we sing God's praise this morning.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, for you have called us here. You have called us together to remind us that we are made in and out of your love. We are created to reflect your image in your world. You have called us as your own, not through our goodness, but through your gracious love. You have called us here to seek hope, despite our sometimes self-inflicted wounds. You have called us here to seek peace, despite sometimes our intolerance of each other. You have called us here to seek purpose, despite sometimes our inclination to be self-satisfied. Sometimes, living God, it feels that we are swept up with false dreams and aspirations, swept up by powers and systems that are so subtle we barely notice. And yet, even on a grey, overcast day like today, your creation shouts to us of your love, your diversity, your creativity. So forgive us when we place our trust in anything except you. Holy Spirit, you have called us here to free us from all that drags us down, to remind us to serve creation, to turn from guilt and despair, and to reclaim faith and remember that the love of God makes all things new. We pray these things as a way of praising from our souls the King of heaven. Amen. And let's say the Lord's Prayer together as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
So I thought right at the start of our service, we'll give thanks to God, and then I'll do a little introduction because you don't know who I am. I don't know who you are. So you go first. What's your name? I mean, there's quite a few of you not sure. That's a bit concerning. Maybe tell me later when we've got more time. But I'm David. I'm the new moderator. I'm going to keep calling myself new for many years. I think that's a wise move. So I started as moderator in October. And, been discovering this whole part of the world. Where have I come from? Where have Joe and I come from? Well, I'm really a southeast of England person. I was born in Kent. And for the first career choice, really, I went to work in the City of London, where I worked for Barclays Bank. I always pause to see what the reaction's going to be. I worked for Barclays for several years, mostly in London, a couple of times in France. I had a great time working for the bank. And then felt the call to ministry. I can tell more about that later. Trained at Westminster College, Cambridge. I mean, that was quite north for me. coming from the southeast. And then my first church that I served was in Hackney, northeast London. If you want to know why Hackney is quite unique for a postcode, ask me later. And I was there for some years, and then I went really north, right up to near the border of Scotland. Well, Derby. For me, that really was quite north. And then after that, Joe and I moved down to Maidenhead and Marlow, where we were, for quite a few years. And we left there this time last year to move to the southwest of England, which we didn't really know at all. So both of us are delighting in discovering this whole area. So that's a little introduction about me. Two other things now. Firstly, this is for those who are listening to this service and not here with us. This is one of the worst parts of the service for you. I do apologise. But for everybody else, I'm going to show you something and then explain them. I'm going to introduce you to my boots. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a preacher who has stood here before showing you his boots. But many years ago, I wanted to wear some boots for leading worship. And I rather got quite attached to them. And it became tradition that every Sunday or whenever I preached, I would wear my boots. If I walked down, is that going to affect the microphone? No. Excellent. Let me come and see you all. You can have a good look at my boots. I'm not going to take them off and throw them around, but there you go. So you can see my boots. They're even squeaking a little bit. So I now have a tradition that I always wear my brown preaching boots when I'm leading worship, which means two or three things. Firstly, if you ever see me wearing boots, it's like an early warning system. It means I'm about to preach, so be wary. Choir, can you see my boots? Thank you. They're quite nice. I got compliments from the choir. No one here said anything. But for me, they're quite special. So they're Doc Martin boots, because I wanted to get something that was British made, that has got lots of ethics to it. So even my shirts are fair trade, so I try and wear ethical clothing where I can. But what I've really come to appreciate about these boots is because I only wear them when I preach, they touch what I think is quite holy ground from church to church. So these boots have travelled, I mean, recently, they even bring the dust from Cricklade to here. I will be taking your dust on wherever I am next week. But for me, it's quite a nice thing that these boots touch the holy ground of all our churches. I don't wear them for office work or for travelling or anything else like that, just for when I'm preaching. So they've become quite special to me. Third part of the introduction is, and we can tackle this a little bit more in our Q&A. Again, if you're listening to this service later, so sorry you're not here with you. Yeah, actually here with us, although you are probably going to ask really awkward questions. But one of the questions I get asked is it still important to have a moderator in this day and age? Because, you know, church life moves on, doesn't it? And Jo, my wife, comes to every single service I do, so she sits there not knowing what I'm going to say at this point, because every Sunday it's a different answer. Except the answer is always yes, having a moderator is important. And the reason why it's important today is because you're very lucky if you're staying for lunch. Because yesterday, partly because of my role, Jo and I were invited to a Ukrainian event, and there was some spare cake, and some of the cake, not all of it, I've eaten quite a lot of it, I'll be honest, some of the cake is here for the lunch. So later on, we'll be sharing in some Ukrainian cake. So if there wasn't a moderator, you wouldn't be eating Ukrainian cake today. I know that's quite a flippant sort of response, but happy to engage more later on, especially when we get to the Q&A session. But that tells you a little bit about me. And I wanted to say that, especially about the Ukrainian cake, because what we're going to do now is light the peace candle. And even just meeting some of the Ukrainians that we met yesterday in Taunton, we're just reminded that sometimes we might feel really helpless in bringing about peace. And yet when I've spoken to people from Ukraine and other places who are in conflict, when we tell them they are remembered in our churches, that becomes something really quite powerful and strong, especially for them. So we're going to light our peace candle. We might be thinking of Ukraine. We might be thinking of Gaza, Yemen. There are plenty of other places around the world which need real peace. So let's, in our silence, light the candle and remember those places as our powerful act of prayer. Let's sing our next hymn, I Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness.
Our first reading is from Ecclesiastes, and you can find it on page 626 of the Old Testament section of the Pew Bibles. I'll be reading various verses from chapters 1 and 2. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolish? Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This is also a vanity. Amen.
Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And Jesus said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store all my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." This is the word of the Lord.
The choir will now sing the anthem, "Rejoice, the Lord is King," words by Charles Wesley and set to music by Malcolm Archer. Thank you, Helens. And thank you, choir. You're good. No, that's quite... So let me explain why what I've just said, I hope you take as a compliment. Many years ago, I was preaching at a church where they'd just started a choir. And after the service, they invited me to go and meet the choir. And they said to me, the choir would love to hear any words you've got for them. So I said, you're all very clearly passionate about music. And they said, oh, thank you, we are. They were awful. I mean, they really were. They couldn't sing, but that was the best I could do. So, you're good. I'm saying that openly, Jeff. Thank you. Let me just... Some of us here are old enough. Do you remember Dad's Army? I don't know what your favourite phrase was, but I get, don't tell him your name, Pike. We'll be high up there. For others, we're all doomed. Do you remember that? I mean, that seemed to come in every single episode. We're all doomed. Whatever it was. I mean, all the episodes were so silly that it was not true, but we're all doomed. I'm not even going to try and insult anybody from north of the border by doing the accent. You can now get that slogan on T-shirts and mugs and far more than that. All the hilariously awkward moments, there was that one prophetic voice of, we're all doomed. I don't know if that's you. When I was in Derby as minister, I met someone who didn't really come to church at all. Well, that's not true. He came most Sundays, but he didn't stay. He literally would drop his wife off and then drive off as quickly as he could to avoid me. But I did speak to him once, and he said to me, I fear that you're an optimist. So I said, oh, okay, that's quite an interesting fear. He said, well, he said, you're either a half full or half empty person. You know, if you've got a glass half full of water, he said, which one are you? So I said, yeah, you're right. I would always say the glass is half full. And he went, thought so. So I said, well, what would you say you are? And he said to me, you don't really understand Derby, do you? So I said, no, go on. I find myself in conversations that sometimes I don't have a clue where it's going to. But he was really interesting because he said to me, Derby is built on railways and Rolls Royce. It's pointless discussing how much water is in the glass. The key question is, why was the glass built that big in the first place, and why was it designed in that shape? And actually, I thought there was quite something in what he said. We might try to make sure we're either optimists or pessimists, but what shape and size are we actually built in? Reading the Ecclesiastes reading, I couldn't help but feel that if you took out the words, well, that's all vanity, well, that's all vanity, well, that's... Firstly, it would be half the length. But secondly, you could just replace that phrase with, we're all doomed. I worked all day and all night, and then I looked at the people who are going to take over from me, and I thought to myself, we're all doomed. I looked at the stars and the sky and I thought to myself, well, that's all right, but ultimately we're all doomed. Honestly, reread that passage and you will hear that Dad's Army voice coming through loud and clear. I always used to feel doomed every time I went to a department store. I mean, we all remember Debenhams and other such department stores. And not so much back in the day, whenever that day was, but certainly in the 80s and 90s, I hated going into any department store. For me, that really was a we're all doomed moment. They were impossible to get into without having 16 different perfumes sprayed in your face. You'd have to almost swim through a mist of spray just to get anywhere you wanted to. And all these smells just in the air, sort of a mist of everything. And it put me off, I'm sure. Whatever I wanted. The scent put me off the track. Now, this is where I know some of you are thinking, where is he going with this? One of the original Hebrew words for vanity is mist. It's a mist. And I honestly used to hate those perfumes being sprayed everywhere, because for me, it did form a sort of mist that was a complete distraction for what I'd gone into that department. I might have gone to buy, I don't know, T-shirts or something for the kitchen. Department stores sold everything, didn't they? Not so much these days. But first, you'd have to clear your way through the mist to regain your purpose. I think that's kind of what the Ecclesiastes writer is trying to encourage us to reflect on. Many years ago, when I was in training for the ministry, I was in Cambridge for 4 years, and I can remember some of what I was taught. But there are some things I remember really, really well. And one of them was we used to every now and then have ministers who had been in ministry for some time come in and share their wisdom with us. And normally they would get an hour to not lecture, but just reflect on lessons learnt in ministry. I remember so well one of these sessions, which was a local minister from Cambridge, who came in, had an hour with us, and he was introduced very formally. I think the introduction was 5 minutes long. And then the minister said, "Thank you for inviting me." The main thing about ministry is, don't mess it up too much for the next minister. Thank you for having me. He sat down and he stood up and said, "I suppose I could take questions if there are any. That was his point. Don't mess it up too much for the next person. I think that's a delicious twist on the Ecclesiastes reading. The Ecclesiastes reading basically says, I have set everything up so well, do I trust the next generation or not? Probably not, actually. They're only going to mess it up. I wonder if you look at anybody who's younger than you and wonder, are they going to mess it up? It's a very interesting debate at the moment. What if they do lower the age of voting to 16? Will they mess it up? That's a really interesting debate going on at the moment. Have we created things so perfectly that whatever comes or whoever comes after us is only going to mess it up? Or is that just that mist of vanity? What if we're only leaving foundations for the next person? I mean, we could build bigger barns, couldn't we? Imagine having such a harvest that you didn't have enough space. What should you do? Build more barns because I'm such a good grain grower. I've actually practiced saying that, grain grower. I'm going to use it a few times. It's not as easy to say as you think. I'm going to build new barns because, firstly, I know I'm good at growing grain. Secondly, I want everyone else to know how good I am. That's the crux of the New Testament passage. And Jesus' response, well, I'm going to paraphrase. I'm not saying I could do better than Jesus, but Jesus' response was, it's all vanity. It's all vanity. I love that phrase, your life is being demanded of you tonight. What is our mist? What stops us seeing God's kingdom in the fullest picture that is yet to be? Confessions of a moderator time. Please put any pens or paper away. Stop recording everything. I had a bit of mist this morning. But I think the M4 does that to you, doesn't it? I mean, is it just me? No. Well, okay, good. Several other people. Oh, what is it with people who just want to sit in the middle lane and not pull in? I mean, honestly, I am such a good driver compared to them. Or is that a mist of vanity? We, I think, all do have vanities that are a mist. One of the most powerful things of a church service is the opening prayers. Very simply, we proclaim and set God as God, and then we confess our mists, our vanities. Except we don't really, do we? We just talk about other people's mists and vanities. Because even this morning, I should have changed my prayers to, and forgive us as we struggle to forgive BMW drivers. I've just said that. I didn't check in the car park to see if there were any BMWs here. That's dangerous. Deep down, if we're going to be honest in our confessions, we need to know our mists. That's the vanity. It's not about doing stuff in vain. We light a peace candle. I mean, what's the point? How many times has this peace candle been lit? And has it changed the world? That's the fear of doing something in vain. The vanity comes when we say, I can't be bothered because I don't know why we're doing this. That's why I mentioned that reminder earlier that it is important. Don't let our mist stop us. Don't let our mist stop us being part of church. Don't let our mist stop us believing in a God that is so much more than we could possibly imagine. Don't have a mist that says there is nothing good in the world. Don't have a mist that says there is no point. The point is, we are built in a certain way and with a certain shape. We are created, we are crafted in that way for a purpose. We are here to bring about the kingdom of God. I'm not going to say who because I don't want them hounded out of this church, but someone did say to me earlier, I presume as moderator you're going to preach for a good 45 minutes. So that's a 15-minute, yeah, 15 minutes. Are we up for a break now and then the next half an hour later, or would that bring down another mist on us? I'm about to conclude, don't worry. The stories we have of Jesus
are all about removing people's mists. Those people who Jesus ran into frequently saying, but that's not what religion is about. And Jesus said, that's just a mist. That's just a mist of vanity. The church is called to understand what those mists of vanities are. And we are here to break through them. I love one of the first things you see as you come in saying we're a partnership church. We know that partnerships make sense in this day and age, and yet I don't think you have to look too far before you realize one of the great problems we have in society is the lack of partnership. Bold statements like that are observing a mist and starting to get by it. I'm reminded of the late, great Billy Graham, who said once, one day someone will tell you that I've died. He says, don't you believe a word of it. When I am no longer here, I will be more alive than I have ever been. I think that is a quote that observes the condition of human mist and sees beyond it, goes further, looks to God to say, there is more, and what's more? We are not all doomed. So thank goodness for the demise of department stores. I don't miss those perfumes at all. But thank God for the words from scriptures that still speak to us loud and clear, giving us a challenge, a hope, and a purpose. Thanks be to God. We're going to sing a hymn that cuts through those mists. Be thou my vision.
Let's make our offering for this morning. Oh, actually, no, I'm so sorry. I've got that wrong on the order of service. Which would you rather do now, the prayers or the offering? The prayers are meant to be now. I've just announced the offering, so it doesn't matter. Whatever. Don't mind. We've got the offering. David, do you mind waiting? Give you 2 more minutes. Let's have the offering now. I do apologise. Almighty God, the gifts we offer are gifts of ourselves, tokens of our discipleship, but we pray that they would bring your kingdom to be on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's share the words of the grace together.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Just before we do our prayers of intercession, I will update you on the situation with Robert. As you were aware, 2 weeks ago he had an operation on his right knee. He is progressing well, and yesterday he was able to come up to the co-op to join the Saturday morning coffee group, have a chat, and actually do some shopping as well. On Tuesday, we are taking him to have his staples removed, which I'm sure he'll be very pleased about. And on the 2nd of September, he has a meeting with the surgery team that did the operation, and he's hoping that the traffic light will go to green and he can get back to normal. He has asked me to send his greetings to you all and thank you all for your prayers. So let us pray. Loving God, as we seek to follow your Son Jesus more closely each day, we pray for ourselves. We pray that you will lead us ever closer to Jesus, so that our lives may be transformed as we seek to learn more of Jesus. And through that transformation, we might share love and transform in presence of Jesus with others. Might we have the boldness and faith to do this and to say that which you call upon us to say? May all we do in our lives bring us ever closer to Jesus and you. And may others see in us life-changing presence. We take a moment of silent prayer as we bring our own individual prayers for ourselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of the Church, we ask you for your guidance in all we do. May the work we do in and through our church proclaim the word in action and love that you have for all people. May the church be a place of welcome, a place where people find a home, a place where they can be comforted, welcomed, and challenged. A place where worship is offered and lives are changed through it. We pray for churches, pastorates, and partnerships entering into a new chapter and looking for a new minister, very particular to our hearts at this time, Lord, as Robert nears his time of retirement. May you prepare the hearts of the churches and ministers you are calling. May you, Lord, be glorified through the process. We pray for churches with uncertain futures. We pray that you will walk with them as they discern the next steps of their life. And we pray for new churches that have begun in recent years, that they and all churches grow in faith, commitment, mission, and outreach. We pray for those in our church who are unwell or facing medical tests, treatment, or surgery. We particularly think of our Minister Robert and Don MacArthur and his family at this moment in time. We pray for those who are bereaved and sensing the darkness of loss of someone they love. Come close and comfort, we pray. We pray for those who are searching for meaning and understanding, that they may see and sense Christ's presence and know his love for them. We take a moment of silent prayer to bring our own prayers for the church and the people therein. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the world, especially those places where war is ever-present reality. We pray for all who work for peace, whether individually or as an organization. May their work bear fruit, and may the true godly peace be known and experienced. We pray for those who are used, abused, trafficked, and sold into modern slavery. We pray that they will be released from their captivity. May we each play our part in helping those who suffer, especially when we have the power to make a difference. We think especially of those who make perilous journeys across dangerous waters to seek refuge in other countries. We pray for those who suffer because of environmental crisis, for those whose lives are daily affected by emissions, rising sea levels. May we each play our part in caring for your creation, Lord. We pray for those in positions of political influence, for world leaders, heads of state, that they will make decisions to help those who they serve. Give them godly wisdom and understanding. May their policies help those who need it most. We offer all these prayers to you, Lord, spoken and silent, in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Not going to be able to stay around for too long today. So both Joe and I have to leave by one.
The reason is we've got to be down in South Somerset by 3 o'clock for another church service. But, I know, but we will stay till then. So, especially after this service, there will be a chance for a question and answer session. And some of you may be wondering, what are we allowed to ask the moderator? You can ask anything you like. I might not answer it. But give it a go. If you've got a question you want to ask, it might be about me, or it might be about the United Reformed Church, or here, or it could be about... I'm more than happy to answer any question about the greatest football team there's ever been, which is, of course, Tottenham Hotspur. So I'm willing to take questions on anything. You might, I don't know if it's been organised or not, but if you, I have found in the past, if you've got a question that you know already and you can write it down, that might help me cluster some of the questions. But if not, happy to take questions as they come, and we'll see how that goes, and then it'll be good to spend some time with you over lunch. Sometimes our worship draws to an end. It doesn't actually, does it? Our worship is always ongoing in our lives. But specifically, we gather for times of worship, and we draw that to a conclusion now as we sing our final hymn for this morning, Tell All the World of Jesus. The word of God has been shared and heard. The word of God will not stay in here. The word of God will be alive in the world. So go from here to live in and amidst the word of God. And as you do, may the blessing of the one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all who you treasure, for this day and forevermore. Amen.